Afternoon, one and all. Scotty K, London cabbie, anti-EU campaigner, back this week with my view from the cab. As it's Easter, I'm not going to go on too much, but instead relay to you the speech I gave at an EFDD meeting I attended last week in Dartford. It is pretty much the same as the one I gave in Westminster for Grassroots Out back in February. You can actually catch that one on YouTube and check me out at around the half hour mark. Being a London taxi driver for almost 18 years, I have seen many changes within my trade. Uber, without a doubt, is now the biggest threat to the London taxi trade. With heavy corporate backing and friends in high places, it is riding roughshod over authority, pushing the boundaries and challenging rules and regulations all the time, constantly defeating our licensing authority, Transport for London, in the courts. This, to me, is a glimpse of what TTIP, the Transatlantic Trade and Investment Partnership, looks like, something the EU wishes to impose on all of us. Hundreds of licenses are being issued to private drivers every week by TfL, many of whom sign on to Uber, many of whom are foreign nationals that are willing to work for a pittance, thus driving down the cost, making it impossible for people like me to compete. It's not only a question of my depreciating income, but also one of public safety. As a London cab driver, every 3 years I undergo a criminal record check to ensure I am of sound character. Private hire drivers do too, but for those coming from many other European countries, it is extremely difficult to obtain this information to the same level as my check. Assaults on passengers in Uber vehicles are on the increase, along with the rate of accidents with their cars. Many of these drivers have had very little experience driving in Britain, let alone London, some even driving on foreign licences. On the pre-booked side, quite a few of the London hotels we service now have cartels of Eastern European doormen, concierges and reception staff, all making sure that guests who pre-book a taxi to Heathrow are pushed into one of their comrades' cars for a nice bung, meaning the passenger will often pay far more than it costs in a proper London taxi. And with a lot of these overseas staff now in positions to hire others, the jobs are kept amongst their own, but you will never hear of any discrimination charges being brought against them for not hiring British workers. And then there's our costs too, which have risen considerably over the last decade or so, particularly the cost of our cabs, thanks to the emissions limits that stem from the EU. Soon we will be paying in excess of £50,000 for a cab with the proposed introduction of electric taxis, all in the name of cleaner air targets. So that's me as a worker. On a personal level, I am married with 3 young children, the oldest of which is 11. By the time he enters the workplace, he will be competing for a job with an additional 2 million people, at best, on current net immigration figures. Even if he goes to university, he is far brighter than me, the part-time jobs many students rely on in shops, restaurants, bars and the such to help fund their studies have all been lost to an international army of low-wage, zero-hour, unprotected workers, subsidised by the British taxpayer through in-work benefits. And when he reaches voting age, with heavier influence from Brussels than we have now should we vote to remain in the EU, his voice will count for less, his vote becoming worthless. For not only is the power being taken from our Parliament, but it is also being taken from you and me. You see, for almost 30 years now, I've had the opportunity to vote for a government I felt would best serve my and my country's needs, or voted against somebody to get them out of office. I want all my children to carry on receiving that right, feeling that their vote can help shape their own destinies. Democracy, not bureaucracy. And thinking back to when I was a child of similar age to my eldest in the early 80s, believe it or not, my mum worked for an American company with a German boss, who commuted weekly from Frankfurt. They traded throughout Europe from their European base in West London. She even drove a German car. Every year or two we holidayed in Europe, changed our money up, showed our passports and so on. So what's changed? Why are we paying £55 million per day to do the same things we were doing 35 years ago for nothing? On that note, I'll finish up with a question I ask many Europhiles who get in the back of my cab, all of which have failed to give me an answer. Is there anything we can only do from inside of the EU that we cannot do from outside of it? The truth is, there is nothing we can't do on our own. We are a proud nation with a proud history. Please, let's not give it away. Right, so I'll be back next week when I'll be giving my view on IDS's resignation, the Brussels bombing, and a little bit on Donald Trump, amongst other things. So until then, be safe and be lucky.